This all started in museums and galleries. Now it's in classrooms, in country towns.
This should not be here.
It's a human being in a box.
This is the stuff of empires.
There is a great betrayal.
We're not slaves, we're African.
It's the stuff the British stole.
I just don't believe that. It just does not stand up.
From ABC Australia and CBC Podcasts, 6 brand new podcast episodes for free worldwide, available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, welcome to Q. I'm Talia Schlanger, sitting in for Tom Power. Clement Virgo's film Brother has been sweeping awards ever since it premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival a couple of years ago. It won a record 12, that's a full dozen Canadian Screen Awards, including Best Direction last year. And more recently, a few weeks ago, it won the NAACP Image Award Prize for Outstanding International Motion Picture. So here's a little bit about the film. It's based on a book by David Cherryandy. It's about two brothers growing up in Scarborough in the east end of Toronto. And they're growing up raised by a single mother who is looking out for them. And I'll be vague here, but they experience a tragedy and then they have to figure out how to keep going, how grief and loss can affect a family and a community. The director of the film, Clement Virgo, is one of the most acclaimed Canadian directors. He worked on the HBO show The Wire. He's directed projects for Netflix like The Get Down. And he made this miniseries called The Book of Negroes, which is widely considered to be one of the best Canadian screen offerings of all time. But with this film, Brother, Clement says it feels like a bookend to his career. I'll tell you what he means by that. I'll also tell you the story of calling David Cherryandy to see if he could just, you know, make a couple of changes to his excellent book. Very bold. Here's Tom Power's conversation with Clement Virgo, starting out with the moment that Clement first read the book, Brother.
It was in 2017. A friend of mine, Maxine Bailey, who's happens to be the sister of Cameron Bailey, who's a good friend of mine, and it was Cameron's birthday, and we were at Cameron's office, and Maxine mentioned the book to me, and I hadn't heard about it, and so I took a photograph of the novel, the cover of the novel.
And was she saying you should make a film based on this?
Yeah,
or was she?
Yeah. She was saying, yeah, you should make a film based on this book because it's a brilliant book. It's a brilliant by this brilliant novelist David Cherryandy. And so a lot of people recommended books, but a few months later, I picked up the book. I read it and loved it. It was similar to what happened to me with The Book of Negroes. Another friend of mine, Molly Johnson, recommended that book. And so, it's great to have these two Canadian novelists, help me to kind of build my career in some ways. But I read it and loved it. It just felt very, very personal. It felt like my life in some ways.
Tell me more about that. Help me understand that better.
Well, I was born in Jamaica. I came to Canada. I came to Toronto, Canada, as an 11-year-old. I moved to a place called Regent Park. It was about that immigrant experience. And the novel is about this family from Trinidad. It's about two brothers. It's about a mom who's very, very loving and caring for her two sons. And it just sort of spoke to me on a kind of visceral level, And it was a time where I was doing a lot of television and I was doing a lot of work that wasn't my own, and I wanted to get back to making my own work. And so when I read this novel, it just, I was very, very moved by it and very, I thought, yes, I could spend 3 years of my life trying to get this made.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the characters in the film, a little bit about your approach to them. So the film is, as you mentioned, about these two brothers growing up in Scarborough, just outside of Toronto, and their mother, who loves them. Lamar Johnson plays the younger brother,
yes,
Michael, and Aaron Pierre plays the older brother, Francis.
Yes.
But I want to talk about them in a second, but can you just, for people who haven't seen it, maybe set up their relationship a little bit?
Well, I think Lamar Johnson, like you mentioned, plays Michael, who's a younger brother, and Aaron Pierce plays the older brother, and Aaron, who plays Francis, is an extrovert. He's a kind of personality that everyone loves. He's a beautiful specimen of a man. He's an extrovert. He could walk into a space, and he's a natural leader. There's a kind of, you know, very sort of masculine energy about him. At the same time, he's very tender inside. While Michael, his younger brother, is kind of an introvert. He's an observer. He's someone that looks out and sees the world and sort of watches the world from the corner in some ways.
You know, you got to work on things, man.
Work on? What do you mean?
Like, all sorts of things, bro. Be cooler about things, man, and not put everything out on your face all the time. You gotta carry yourself better. Think about your look. Don't matter how poor you are, you can always turn up the edge of a collar and style a bit, you know? Little things like that. There's always a way to show the world you're not a nobody.
And it's about this family that sort of suffers a tragedy that's that we slowly kind of unfolds. And I'm sort of this story in a novel and in a film plays out like a mystery in some ways. You know, you're trying to figure out what has happened in this family. And we slowly, as the movie unfolds, discover what that is.
Let's stay on that for a second and talk about the challenges and opportunities that would present. So I'm trying to be cautious with my words. I guess we'll call it a tragedy. That's probably, yeah, we don't want to say what a tragedy is.
Yes, I think it's fair to say that. Yes,
yeah, there's a tragedy befalls one of the main characters in the film, and you then through a series of sort of time changes, like, you know, the brothers when they were kids, the brothers when they were in high school, the brothers when they were a bit older. Eventually, you are, like you said, you are sort of waiting to find out exactly what happened. Talk to me about approaching a film that way, because it must bring up its own set of challenges. Sort of, we as an audience kind of know what happened at the beginning,
right?
And then you have to do development to match our expectations.
Yeah, I mean, I think as storytellers, and I'm sure you do this all the time, and you know, I know as a writer, as a filmmaker, you're always trying, you're always making a promise to the audience. And you always sort of suggest a question, and you always, in some ways, lay out a mystery, you know, for the audience. And so what was important for me at the beginning of the film, and I think what David Chiaradi does so beautifully in this novel, is to ask us questions about what happened to one of these characters, right? And so I wanted to really employ some genre elements. So you know, because you know, we have the straight family drama, but at the same time, I wanted to draw on influences like, you know, Hitchcock, and try to suggest a kind of suspense and mystery story at the heart of this. And the way the film opens is you know, which is the same way it opens in the novel. In the novel, it's a bit more poetic, you know, but in the film, I wanted to really create a sense of what happened. You know, it's a bit of a teaser, and so you know, allowing the audience to lean in and to then participate. Because I know when I watch films, I want to participate. I want to untangle what is happening in the story. I want to lean forward and to figure out that sort of puzzle box as I'm watching the film. And so I wanted to make sure that that was a part of the way we view this film.
I'm Talia Schlanger, sitting in for Tom Power. You're listening to Q. Coming up, more of Tom's conversation with Clement Virgo.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
I want to ask about how you approached grief in this film, because I think grief is a challenging thing. I've never made films, nor have I acted. I've acted once. So I haven't made films and I haven't acted, but I have some thoughts, apparently.
Right. You have opinions.
From a place of expertise here, Clem, I'm not going to lie to you.
You have notes.
I have some notes. You know what? We can just screen it. I got a couple of things I want to point out. No, I thought what the film did, and maybe I'm sensitive to it because of some life experiences that I have, but I find grief a challenging thing to portray on in a film or in TV, because if you're not careful, what can be an overstatement of grief can be sort of cartoonish,
right,
and almost kind of funny.
Right.
If you understate it, the characters can seem too sober or right, unfeeling.
Right.
Your film, and again, it's hard to talk about this without spoiling it too much, but the characters in your film have such a beautiful honesty in the depiction of how we take in grief. Did you have conversations, or what conversations did you have with the actors about how to show grief on screen?
Well, you know, when I hired these great actors like Marcia's Stephanie Blake, who plays a mom, Ruth, or like Lamar Johnson and Aaron Pierre, part of what I do as a writer, as a filmmaker, is to hand over those characters to them, right? And so, I have a sense of what it is that I want to see, but I don't want to be prescriptive on what that is. I want the actors to be able to show me what you've been thinking about. Because because they're living with it. I'm living with the whole story. They're living with this one particular character, and so whenever I see a moment on screen that they perform, my instinct is then, does that feel authentic and emotionally truthful? Does it feel real? Does it feel like it's a right space, you know, right place to be in the movie? And the movie in my head is almost like a musical piece, you know, where I'm thinking about the highs and lows. I'm thinking about the high notes. I'm thinking about the low notes. I'm thinking about the melody. And so part of what I'm trying to get to is to earn your emotion, right? To earn... You know, if you're affected by the film at the end, and if you are affected emotionally, and you to the point of say tears, I want those tears to be earned, and part of my job as a director is to modulate those performances so that you are feeling the audience, feeling the performer, and not just watching the performer.
But isn't that a hard balance? Like if you're saying I want the performances and the emotions to be honest, but I also want to draw a reaction from the viewer. Isn't that a difficult balance to remain honest while also trying to elicit a reaction?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that we all want to. I think that's the purpose of stories in some ways. We all are trying to communicate something that we collectively have experienced, and you want to feel like it's emotionally truthful. You want to feel, you don't want to feel manipulated, but you want to feel like this person understands and have gone through. And so if you've experienced grief,
yeah,
that I as a filmmaker and the performers have laid it out and demonstrated in a way that is authentic, that you know, by the end doesn't feel manipulative, but then that allows you to also experience your own grief that you may have gone through. Because I think that, you know, the best films, again, for me is that, you know, if I watch a film from South Korea or anywhere around the world, even though I may not be specifically know those cultures,
yeah,
I recognize the humanity on the screen, and I recognize that person is trying to communicate a feeling that I've had, you know, because we all live in our own movie, right? And we all think, I'm the only person who have ever felt grief. I'm the only person who have ever felt pain or loss or love. And what's great about stories and movies and art is that it is mirrored back to you through a great piece of music, mm-hmm, a great piece of, you know, a great movie, a great TV show. You know, as a filmmaker, I'm hoping to be able to, for you to recognize your own humanity in these characters.
Was that always the goal for you as a filmmaker?
No, I think with my first film, my very first film, Rude, was a was really about me. It was a very sort of like self-absorbed young filmmaker, young man who's like, you know, who wanted to, who had all these feelings, who wanted to just like, didn't know how to fully express them. But so my first film had that kind of energy and just kind of like, you know, look at me, I'm the star, you know?
Yeah.
And as you get more mature, I hopefully get more maturity and older as a filmmaker, you are more curious. You stay more curious about the world and stay more curious about yourself, but at the same time, to have the insight and the wisdom, hopefully, as you get older, to stand back and to allow the story and the feelings and emotions to unfold in a real way.
I mean, that's interesting to me you say that, because I read this quote on the way in here that said, like, Rude, your first film, and this film, Brother, they sort of are the bookends of your career up to this point.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing there is, and maybe this is just a matter of me needing to understand this a little bit more, you said that your first film was just kind of you, like an explosion of you, you know,
yes.
Like your own anxieties, your own hopes, your own wishes, your own desire to be a filmmaker. And then this film is a more, you know, as you go on, you become more honest and
yeah.
you become more, you know, you become more honest, you become more sensitive in your filmmaking.
Yeah.
But it's, you also told me at the beginning that this film is personal to you. You
yes.
felt like you saw your own story
yes.
here. Do you know, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like they both feel like.
Absolutely.
It feels like you got, like, this is like another version of you, but you got a bit wiser.
Yes, yes. I mean, I think as artists, you know, in the realm of music, that's why first albums are always so, or first films and first albums, music, they're just like, you know, I'm gonna, like, this is me,
yeah.
you know? And then, you know, but by the time you get to maybe the fifth album, you're just like, you know, yeah, this is still me, but do you also feel this as well? You know,
oh, that's so beautiful.
You know what I mean? Like because usually the first album is usually so self-absorbed.
I love that so much that your first album or your first film is like, this is me. And then if you're lucky and you keep making stuff, you can get to, this is me, isn't it you too?
Yes.
Unless you're you too.
Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. Unless you too. I mean, yeah, you see it with like the Beastie Boys, you know. It's like, you remember that what is that first album? License to Ill. It's just like you can't get any more
yeah.
self-absorbed in, you know, but by the time they get to their later albums, they're doing concerts for Tibet and, you yeah. know, just they're much more you know, it's not just about no sleep till Brooklyn. It's
yeah.
more about, you know, you sort of realize this, the world is just bigger than your own preoccupation.
Everything Clement Virgo is saying there, you can really see in his films in action. And if you have not seen Brother yet, which he was just talking to Tom Power about, you got to see it. It won the prize for Outstanding International Motion Picture at this year's NAACP Image Award. That's it for this episode, but you can find another podcast episode in your feed. It's Tom's conversation with filmmaker Zelda Williams, who says she expected some people to really hate her first movie. That's not something you hear a director say every day. She talks about how making people laugh is a pretty hard dragon to chase, and she would know. She is the daughter of the late, great Robin Williams. She also talks about your right to enjoy a film without taking a message or a moral lesson away from it. You can catch that in your podcast feed. I'm Talia Schlanger, sitting in for Tom Power. I'll see you next time.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.